you, if you will, to open your Bibles with me today to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And is a connecting word, and this chapter is connected to the first chapter. And so this chapter ends with this prophet Ezekiel on his face. Ezekiel on his face. Why was he on his face? Well, in the vision, as you look back to verse 28 of chapter 1, in the vision that God gave him, he saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Above that, in verse 26, we read the likeness of a throne. And upon that throne, the likeness of a man upon it. Why was Ezekiel on his face? He was on his face because he saw a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose glory is as the only begotten of the Father. In the New Testament, we read one day the Lord Jesus Christ brought three of his disciples to a mountain, and the Bible tells us that he was transfigured before them, that his face did shine as the sun, that his garments were as white, so white that no fuller could wash them. He was transfigured. In other words, this man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, his glory as God began to break through. And God the Father spoke from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him." Then the disciples fell on their face. Have you ever fallen on your face before the Lord Jesus Christ? Not physically necessarily, but in your heart. Has he ever appeared to you? Has he ever manifested himself to you through his word, through the preaching of the gospel, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that there was no place for you before him but on your face, before him? We read in Matthew chapter 8, when the Lord Jesus Christ came down from the mountain upon which he delivered what is called the Sermon on the Mount, that there met him a leper. And the first thing that we read about the leper is he worshiped. He fell prostrate before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He worshiped. He fell on his face before the Lord. We live in a day and in a time when most people have very little reverence, if any, for God and for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's now buddy-buddy with God. People have no idea of the distance that exists between God Almighty, the thrice holy God, and you and I, sinful men and women. Ezekiel fell on his face. We read the same thing in Revelation chapter 1. John, the apostle, on the Isle of Patmos, in the Spirit, on the Lord's day. And the Lord appeared unto him, and John fell on his face. We read the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the seraphims crying one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And in the Gospel of John, we know that was Christ that Isaiah saw. And immediately he confessed, "I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of an unclean people." Ezekiel was on his face before the Lord. What I want to do today, we're going to look at chapter 2 and part of chapter 3. And I want to point out 7 things that Ezekiel heard. And notice it says in verse 28 of chapter 1, "And when I saw, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." I want us to look at 7 things. There's probably more, but 7 things that stand out to me, at least, that Ezekiel heard. This voice, the Lord Jesus Christ, that spoke to him. And then after we look at these 7 things that Ezekiel heard, I hope by God's grace to make application to all of us today. So first, look at these 7 things that Ezekiel heard. Son of man, notice in verse 1, the first thing he heard was, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet." This is the first time of almost 200 times in this prophecy, the prophecy of Ezekiel, 48 chapters as it is divided in our Bible. But this is the first time that this man was addressed by God as Son of Man. Now, the older commentators believe that this was to serve as a perpetual admonition to him of his own weakness and frailty. We might look at this as an Old Testament equivalent of what Paul the Apostle said he learned. In the New Testament, he said he learned this because, remember, he was caught up into the third heaven. And when he returned, there was a thorn given to him in his flesh, lest he be exalted above measure. And he said out of that experience, he learned this: when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. Son of man, recognize your weakness. Recognize your frailty. Recognize your need of depending upon me in this ministry that I'm calling you to. The word Ezekiel means strengthen. God strengthens. And notice in verse 1, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet." God strengthens. Here he was upon his face before the Lord, and the Lord spoke, and the first thing he heard was, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet." And the strength, the power, the ability to stand upon his feet was the Spirit of God entering into him and giving him that power. Remember in the book of Zechariah, when Zechariah the prophet is told of he who would come and build God's temple. Now, God's temple, Solomon built that temple in Jerusalem. It was a beautiful temple, nothing like it in the world probably at that time. But there's a more beautiful temple, if I can use that word, and it is a spiritual temple, a temple where God dwells. And it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who builds this spiritual temple is much greater than Solomon. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. But Zechariah was told, it's not by might. It's not by might. It's not by human strength, by human ability, human power, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is built. It's not by might, it's not by power, It is, rather, by my Spirit. Son of man, stand upon thy feet. And the Spirit of the Lord entered into him. Ezekiel is made to recognize the ministry, the work that God is calling him to, is above that of man. That he in himself is a frail, weak individual, and the power must be of God. The strength must be of God. His ministry would not be carried on by the power of the flesh, but rather of the Spirit. So that's the first thing he heard. Son of man, stand upon thy feet. Now notice the second thing he heard. Son of man, this is in verse 3. Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Now Ezekiel was a man sent of God. I send thee. God spoke and he heard that word. I send thee to the children of Israel. Ezekiel was one of the captives who was taken into Babylon. We saw this last week in chapter 1. And he was a prophet that God raises up here to minister unto his people in captivity. Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. During the time of Ezekiel's ministry, as in all times, there are always false prophets. Ezekiel was a prophet of God, sent of God, called of God, sent of God. But at the same time, there were many false prophets, even in captivity, among the nation of Israel. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter mentions the fact, as there were false prophets among the people, speaking of the nation of Israel, all through the Old Testament, so Peter says, there shall be false prophets among you. What is the message of a false prophet? Well, the message of a false prophet is he preaches what he knows men want to hear. He knows what men want to hear, and that's his message. He's a false prophet. He's not sent of God. What was it that the Israelites in captivity wanted to hear? They wanted to hear that their captivity was ended. God, through Jeremiah, had spoken and said it's going to be 70 years. Now, when God says something, when you have the Word of God, you can take that to the bank. God's word is like God is faithful. It's true. And God said he had determined that they be in captivity for 70 years. Now these false prophets that were not sent of God, they were going to come. If you study through the book of Ezekiel, you'll see they will come. And they will speak to the people and tell the people of Israel in captivity what they wanted to hear. And what they wanted to hear is, the captivity is ended and you can return home. That was a false message. Ezekiel is sent of God. I send thee to the children of Israel. The false prophets, they were not men. Sent of God. Now, Ezekiel, I think this is important. I know it is. Because Ezekiel would always have this in his heart. When the going got tough, and it's going to get tough. If you look through this book of Ezekiel, it's going to get tough for the prophet of God. When the going gets tough, and Satan attacks you, and tells you, insinuates, at least to you, that you were never called of God. You've got this in your soul. You've got this in your heart. God spoke, and God said, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Pity the man. Pity the man, whoever professes to be a pastor, to be a preacher, and does not have this in his heart, that he is called and sent of God. Because he's going to meet with many discouragements, many hardships along the way, and he's going to have that insinuation in his ears, God never called you. God never sent you. Ezekiel, as every man sent of God, must have this in his soul, in his heart. Son of man, I send thee. I send thee. The third thing, and let me say this, those whom God sends, he keeps. Now that's just so. Those whom God sends, he keeps. Third thing, son of man, I send thee to a rebellious nation, stiff, hard-hearted. Look at that in verses 3 and 4. Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto thee, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. The very fact that they were in captivity, the very fact that they were in Babylon in captivity, testifies to the fact that they were a rebellious people. From the time that they were in Egypt, as slaves in Egypt, until the time that God delivered them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the land of Canaan, unto this point in the history of the nation of Israel, they were a rebellious people. God, through the prophet Jeremiah, said they've committed two evils. You see this in Jeremiah chapter 2. God said this about the nation of Israel, who he calls my people. God calls them my people. They've committed two evils. The first evil, he said, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's the first thing. They turned their back on God. They forsook God. And notice how God describes himself as the fountain of living waters. You know, water is equal to life. Where there's no water, there's no life. And all life comes from God. Natural life, but especially spiritual life, eternal life. Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he used this emblem when he was speaking to that woman there in John chapter 4. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, it shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. They forsook the fountain of living waters. That was the first sin God said they've done. That's the first evil he charged them with. But secondly, when they forsook the fountain of living waters, he said they've sought out many broken cisterns that can hold no water. What does that mean? They turned from the true and the living God, the Lord God Almighty, and they turned to false gods, to the idols of the nations, the gods around them. And there were many of them. And they turned from the fountain of living waters and sought out broken cisterns. Have you ever drunk water out of a cistern? Yeah, I have years ago when I was a child. And I don't know if this is always the case, but water always tasted stale to me. It tasted stale. There's nothing like spring water, is there? When water comes bubbling up out of the ground. We were on a trip several years ago, and I believe we were in South Dakota, And there was a fountain there right in the middle of the town, and the water just running out of the mountain. And everybody could take their cup over there and get them a drink of fresh water. The Lord Jesus Christ, the fountain of living water. And men forsake him and turn to cisterns, broken cisterns at that, that can hold no water. False gods. False ways of so-called salvation. False gospels. Men turn. Turn to from the living God to dumb idols. They have hands, but they can't move. They have eyes, they can't see. They have ears, they can't hear. They have mouths, they cannot speak. Can you imagine that, to turning from the fountain of living waters? And that's what so many people have done in our country. They've turned from the living God to all of the programs and all of the things that go on in churches today. Forsaking the fountain of living waters to broken cisterns. The fourth thing that this man heard, Son of Man, be not afraid of their words. Verse 6, be not afraid of their words. Verse 6, and thou, Son of Man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though they be briars and thorns with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Did you understand what he was telling him? Don't you be, Son of Man, don't be afraid of their looks. Don't be afraid of their words. You are going to be living among them as though you were living in a briar patch. Thorns. Every way you turn, that's what you're going to find. It's going to be like living among scorpions. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Son of Man. They are a rebellious people. God, in effect, promises to this prophet, though you live in such a situation, I will be your protection. I will be your shield. Like a wall of fire round about you. And with all their intentions, remember this, Ezekiel, with all their hatred, their hard speeches, their hard looks, everything that they're going to do to you and with you, remember this, they can do no more than God allows. Here's the fifth thing. Son of Man, now this is strange. I find this strange. But as you think about it, it's not strange. Son of Man, be not rebellious like them. Notice that in verse 8. But thou, Son of Man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. He was to live among them, but he is warned, don't you be like them. Don't you adopt their ways of rebellion. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul, he said this, be not deceived, evil communications, which means companions, evil companions corrupt good manners. Now, Ezekiel, you're going to be with them, you're going to be living with them, sitting where they sit and speaking to them, but don't be like them. In other words, don't rebel. You hear my word at my mouth and you speak my word. And number 6, this is in chapter 3 and verse 1. Son of Man, eat this roll. Eat this roll. Notice that in chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. Now, this roll, of course, represents the Word of God. But you look back to chapter 2 and verse 10, and this is what you find written upon this Word. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. That is what was written on the roll. Not literally he was to eat, but spiritually. In other words, what was written on this roll spoke of calamities, that which causes woe, mourning, lamentation. That's what was written on this roll that he was to eat. He was to so absorb this roll, pictured by eating it, that the awful contents would become part of him. In other words, this ministry is a solemn ministry. This ministry is a serious thing. When men stand in the pulpit, this is not a time for joking. This is not a time when we're dealing with eternal matters to speak lightly of the things of God. Eat this roll. Let it become part of you, Ezekiel, so that you will realize the seriousness of this situation, the solemnity that's involved in being a prophet, a spokesman for God. These woes which are coming upon the nation of Israel, they're going to be worse than what they have already experienced. And the last word that I would mention that he heard, Son of man, go. Verse 4. Of chapter 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, go. Go. Go, and notice this, speak with my words. Speak with my words. Verse 4. Go, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. He had already told Ezekiel that he was sending him to a people not of a hard language. Ezekiel already knew their language. But the point I want to emphasize is you speak to them with my words. With my words. What does God use in saving sinners? Does he use the words of a man? Are men begotten again by the incorruptible word, the word of God? That's the reason it's so important, isn't it, that we study the word of God. We don't invent a message. We are given a message, and we have it for us, and we are to use God's word. People are always saying, well, I just can't understand that. Well, buy you a dictionary. I just can't understand that old English. Well, it's not. If the Spirit of God is living in you, read it. This is what God uses. He uses his word. Speak to them, Ezekiel, and speak to them with my words. We haven't outgrown this, the word of God in this 21st century, and the world will never outgrow God's word. It was quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword in the days of our fathers and in the days of their fathers and all the way back until the time when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the Word of God, inspired the Word of God. So those are seven things. Now, I want to go back through those hurriedly. I won't take long, but I want to see and point out seven applications for us. Number one, those who preach must know that our sufficiency, if we have any, is of God. Just like Ezekiel, son of man, stand on your feet, and the Spirit of God moved or entered into him. Our sufficiency, like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, our sufficiency is of God. Who's capable? We are a savor of life unto some. Some people hear the word that God causes us to preach, and they're converted. They're saved. And some people, they hear the same word, and it's a savor of death unto them. They reject it. They have no interest in it. They forsake it. And so it serves as a savor of death unto them. And Paul asks this question, who is sufficient for such things? Well, no man in himself is. Our sufficiency is of God. Second, those who preach must know that they are sent. They must know that they are sent. Just like Ezekiel heard God say, I send thee. Now, over the years, I've known various pastors, and I've had several of them tell me that when someone came to them and said they believe God wants them to pastor, wants them to be a preacher, that they have said, if you can do anything else, do it. If you can do anything else, do it. Now, let me say what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean if you can make a living doing anything else, do it. That's not what it means at all. But what it does mean, if you believe God's called you, if God's calling you to preach, if God will let you do anything else, do it. Do it. The last place you want to be is in a pulpit if you do not know of a certainty that God has sent you. Number three, those who preach, like myself, are just like Ezekiel. And now listen to me. We too are sent to preach to a rebellious people. You say, are you calling us rebellious? I just point out the fact that all men by nature, we all rebelled in our father Adam. And we all said in effect, I'll go my way. You remember that song a few years ago was so popular, I did it my way. I did it my way. You know, that's the theme song of every son of Adam. I did it my way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. We all rebelled against God Almighty and our father Adam. And yet God sends men to preach to men and women, boys and girls who by nature are rebellious. And what is the message? Lay down your arms. You're fighting against God. What did God say? Let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth. You know what that means? A potsherd is a part of a broken pot, piece of a pot made of clay. And that's what we are, men and women made of clay. Let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth, but not with your maker. Don't strive with God. Don't bow your back up and stiffen your neck against God. Fight against God. That's a battle you're not going to win. You're not going to win. The fourth thing, those who preach must not be afraid of men. The fear of man, the proverb says, bringeth a snare. In preparing and in preaching, the one thing that must determine the message is this. Is this God's word for God's people at this time? That's the one concern. It's not look out on the congregation and see who you may offend and they may stop giving and or they may go away. No, no. The one thing when you are preparing to bring a message to the people of God is this God's word for God's people at this time. That's all. Nothing else. Don't be afraid. And number six, and this is where I believe we see the biggest contrast. I wish I had saved more time for this. But you know, the role that Ezekiel 8, it was full of lamentations, mournings, and woes. The word of God that men who preach the gospel today, the word that we eat, yes, it has those in it, but it also has good news, glad tidings, and the joyful sound that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go into all the world, our Lord said, and preach the gospel to every creature. There's no lamentation in this. Let me give you a few examples. Come now. Come now and let us reason together. God speaking. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a beautiful message is that. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. Now listen, for he will abundantly pardon. Does that thrill you? He will abundantly pardon. No matter how great our sins may be, how filthy, our Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you ever thought about those words? Here's the Lord Jesus Christ who is pure and holy, the eternal Son of God, and yet he says, come unto me. I tell you what, I've seen some people I didn't want to touch, and I didn't want them touching me. You know what I'm talking about. I mean some people so filthy with whatever, so infested with whatever. I visited some hospitals and some times years ago when there was a disease that no one, everyone was afraid of. I had to put on all kinds of gear to go into the room. No one really knew, except it was awful. And here is the Holy Son of God, come unto me. No matter how sinful, how filthy, how depraved, how wicked, how guilty. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Are you laboring under a load of sin, of guilt? Come unto me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. And number seven, those who preach must go. Must go. I'm so thankful when the Lord calls someone out of our congregation and sends them out to preach the gospel. What a blessing. And God has called several out of this church. And what a blessing it is for God. You know, there's churches much larger number-wise than our church. God's never called anyone to preach out of. God's blessed us. And I pray that he'll call others, just like he called Ezekiel. Well, I pray the Lord and bless his word to all of us here today. We're going to close.